Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's going on, Sat? You seem very depressed today.
Depressed? You were there. So last Wednesday, we did Quizomania. It was my first time doing Quizomania. And I was so close to winning. I mean, I was a few minutes away from winning. Guys, if you haven't watched the show, I was winning. Somehow Sean Rossap cheated to win because I was the winner. I'm the rightful Quizomania champion. I was the Brian Kendrick of that moment. I was the interim champion in that moment. I was going to bring it back for Mocha Mondays, then go on Tuesdays and present it to the Irish chief, but it got slipped from my fingers and I don't know what to do with myself, SP3. I've never been in this position in my life.
I know what we should do. We should make a challenge. Right here, right now, Mocha Mondays, November 29th, 2021. Sat E, SP3 are challenging whoever the reigning defending Quizomania champions may be. It may be that cult over there, Church of Friendos, with all the great, lovely people. They're all so nice. They're all so much baby faces. Everyone loves them. We should challenge them. Or the OG Quizomania Tag Team Champions, the Good Brothers. I interviewed them for TalkSport and True Hill Heat YouTube channel. I can challenge them. We can get them at Quizomania. Or Luke stops ducking us. And Luke Owen puts up the Jam That Championship against Mocha Mondays. And we have a 66.6% chance of winning.
Yes, we do. Give me Luke. Luke's part of the lovely Church of Friendos. Give me Luke. Give me that championship. Give it to me now.
Hello, hello, hello. It is me. It is me, your True Hill Phenom SP3. We are live on the Wrestling Daily YouTube channel for another edition. When bourbon meets espresso. Yes, it is Mocha Mondays. I am back once again with Mommy Niyangi's baby boy, Sat E.
Sat E, and the E stands for Ernest. Guys, we were so close to winning. I feel I let you down because I was talking that smack. But I backed it up. SP3 was there. I backed it up. It was my debut showing. I did okay for myself. I came close to winning. This is really just the beginning. They're gonna notice us. They're gonna realize us. Wrestling Daily is here to win. So get us to 15K subscribers. If you want to see us embarrass them, see, think about this. Sean Rossap is not part of Wrestle Talk, so Sean Rossap can't save them. Right,
that is true.
Tempest
Sean is the only person who has beaten us. He's the only person that's beaten me. Every time I've been on Quizomania, it was Sean that won. So Sean is the kryptonite of Mocha Mondays.
He is the X factor for this whole thing. You take out Sean Rossap out of the equation, Tempest is technically part of Lost Intangibles. So allegedly, Lost Intangibles are not Wrestle Talk. So technically, remove Tempest from the equation. And who do you have? Luke, who can only win when he's cashing in Jam in the Jar. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yes,
Wrestling Daily has an elite team. We've got the true heel sensation, SP3. You've got Irish Chief Alex McCarthy. We've got Miss Dynamite, Lady Rampage, Steph Chase. And you got myself, the wild card, the young lion of Wrestling Daily, Sat E. Give us Quizomania War Games and give us the Quizomania Tag Titles. Heck, create a Trios title so me, the Irish Chief, and Mr. Sensation himself, we can win all the gold and bring it back to you guys and make you guys proud.
Absolutely. You heard Set East preaching right there. But Wrestling Daily is all about all you elite good eggs who join us every single day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. UK. But we want to hear from all of you. So WrestleTalk.com/Wrestling Daily. You can send in your Ultra Chats. We want to talk about the titular news, which has to do with a certain Nia Jax in-ring future. We're also going to be talking about AEW contracts expiring soon, as well as Taya Valkyrie getting the social media world in a buzz, and the social media world in a buzz about Adam Cole's current status in AEW as well. So we're going to talk about all of that. So we want to hear from you, what you think, what's your hot take. WrestleTalk.com/Wrestling Daily. And remember to drop a thumbs up on the video, share it with your friends, and subscribe if you are new to Wrestling Daily so we can hit that 15K and be Quizzlemania War Games. Be the winning team. But yes, Seth, let's get into the titular news, which has to do with former WWE superstar, former Raw Women's Champion, Nia Jax. She has stated in a recent post that it is highly unlikely she'll wrestle again following her release earlier this month. She recently shared a link to her fan site, which was known as NiaJax.com, is now known as LenaFanine.com. I hope I said that right. Please correct me in the live chat if you will. However, it sounds like she doesn't plan to use the her real name Lena, and will shorten will have her new ring name be her real name, which is Savalina, because she doesn't plan on getting back to, into the ring. So she tweeted, and I quote, "LOL, newsflash, Lena is my real name. It's not another ring name. It's just my name. The name given to me at birth. Calm the F down, trolls. In all fairness, opponent Crippler would be a solid front runner if I ever decided to wrestle again. But it's highly unlikely." So that was the tweet. If she claims that it's highly unlikely that she will wrestle again. Do you think that that is a good thing? A bad thing? Or, and do you believe it? Because we have to ask that as well when it comes to any professional wrestlers. Whenever they say they're retiring or never wrestling again, you have to take it with a grain of salt. So what do you think, Zach?
Well, first of all, shout out to Adam Pearson, he's in the chat. So basically, her comment is not a shock per se, because if you see how she got into the business, it's not like she's a lifelong wrestling fan. It just happens. She's one of those random lucky people who happens to be related to The Rock. Your cousin done this once. Why not try it out? She tried it out with the nepotism of being The Rock's cousin. She was fast-tracked. Was it her fault she was fast-tracked? No. At the end of the day, it was Vince McMahon and the decision makers that thought, like, yeah, she may be green, but she's big. You know, big people don't need to be, you know, technical and catch-as-catch-can wrestling. So she got put on the main roster before she was ready. She had on-the-job training. She's had some good moments, some flashes of when she put the being the big woman thing together. But unfortunately, she didn't have someone like Awesome Kong to be there to train her up, as in how to wrestle like a big woman in the ring. So a lot of the time, she made a lot of mistakes. She was a bit stiff. But it's a wrestling business. What do you expect? It's not ballet. But if she doesn't wrestle again, I can see her going into being even a curvy model, acting, because The Rock has got a production company. I can see The Rock helping her out, you know, getting some acting roles and being a positive influencer for being, you know, a woman of curvy, you know, shaped woman. Hourglass, BBW.
Hourglass frame, yes.
BBW frame, if you know what I mean. Yeah, but at the same time, that's a great negotiation tactic. She doesn't have to spill all the beans like, yeah, I'm going to wrestle. Nah, you know, she's playing hard to get, because who knows if stranger things have happened. I don't think AEW be knocking on her door, but I can see Impact. I can see, to lesser extent, NWA.
I mean, NWA loves their former WWE talent, but they tend to go with the early 2000s more than
ruthless aggression,
more than 2020. I can see Nia Jax being someone that WOW looks at. WOW is not shied away from controversial figures in professional wrestling, putting Nia Jax in the ring with someone like Tessa Blanchard. No matter how people view those two women, Tessa and Nia, I know they're going to go out of their way to see that match because, you know, some people are going to be hoping for the worst. Some people are going to be hoping for the best. So, I can see WOW being a contender. I can see Impact Wrestling because Impact is a place where a lot of people use it to rehab their careers and prepare for the next chapter of their careers after losing WWE. And I would say, a lot of people like to claim that AEW is a home for a lot of former WWE talent. When you look at the talent that's been released since 2020, Impact Wrestling has a lot more than even AEW at the moment. So Impact would be a likely place for Nia Jax. But I kind of believe she's going to be, I kind of do tend to lean more towards believing her on this. Wrestling has been something that probably has caused a lot of anxiety. Like it's been already established and confirmed, she was on a mental health break from professional wrestling, from the WWE at the time of her release. We don't know the reasoning why she needed that mental health break. Could it have anything to do with something that you're putting your all into? You're putting your passion, your determination, you're going in day after day and doing, and yet you have a social media of thousands, sometimes millions, telling you how bad you are, emphasizing everything that you do wrong. Wrestling mistakes are bound to happen, but we can all agree on the fact that a lot of mistakes have happened around Nia Jax, but you don't tend to learn or improve from those mistakes as much when there are people around you putting a spotlight on that mistake. You have someone acknowledge it and help you acknowledge it so you can know what to do to not make that mistake anymore. But when everybody keeps, even if the people around her that she listens to are telling her, this is what you need to do to not do this anymore, when she looks online on social media and there's thousands of fans pointing out the same thing that they just did, it makes you not want to listen as much, or it makes the information not get to you as quickly and not help you as improve. So I think that might have to do with why she needed the mental health break, is her feedback and her interactions on social media from doing professional wrestling. So to just take out professional wrestling completely from her life could give her a lot of, you know, peace of mind in a lot of ways, it sounds like. That's what I think. That's why I tend to believe her a lot more than I believe a lot of other wrestlers who say they're going to call it quits.
You're right, SB. She's going to be a TikTok star. I mean, she's already been moving towards that direction anyway. So, you know.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. She was getting even Shayna Baszler into the act.
Shayna Baszler's got some hips, by the way, guys. If you've seen them, she can move. Shayna Baszler's got them hips. That's what I'm saying.
Those hips don't lie, though, that's for sure.
They listen, those hips were telling the truth.
There you go. But we want to hear from all of you what you guys think about Nia Jax's in-ring future. Do you believe her post? Do you think that it's not likely that she's going to wrestle again? Do you guys actually want to see her wrestle again? Maybe
I do.
More important. So why do you want to see her wrestle again?
Because I feel like she was done a disservice by WWE. She's legit. So she's quite naive about the business. She didn't know what she was getting herself into. Like I mentioned, her cousin did it. It's like, oh, this could be a way to spotlight you or get you more known, which it has. Like someone mentioned in the chat, she used to be a model. She's very much into motivational speaking. She may be a bit of a QAnon, who knows? I don't know, in terms of her views or whatever. Everybody's entitled to their own views, whatever makes you happy, as long as you don't kill yourself. So she's into being a TikTok star, she's into modeling, she's into being an influencer. I can see her doing that. But in terms of her in-ring stuff, I feel like if she goes to Japan, she could be incredible. If she goes to one of them dojos, man, if she makes it through the training, she's got potential to do great. I'm just saying, outside the WWE system, kind of like, you know, Tay Conti. You know, she improved leaps and bounds by being outside the WWE system, because WWE don't even teach her to be great. They teach her to be okay. It's about the brand. It's not about you doing flashy, cool moves. Ask Ricochet, when's the last time you done something cool without WWE penalizing him? So Nia Jax was never able to reach her potential because WWE didn't allow her, didn't push her to that level.
And I feel like if she gets training somewhere else, she could be incredible. That's what I mean. I feel like it would be night and day her performance as a wrestler if she did actually apply to it. But like you said, her heart probably wasn't in it. It was a stepping stone, and now she's on to the next thing. Acting, maybe singing, who knows?
I mean, you do make a good point. I mean, we've seen with Tay Conti, Tay Conti, who was in developmental for 5 years, then she goes to AEW for a few months, and you see a significant amount of improvement that you never saw during her time in NXT and in the Performance Center. So there is proof for that to be credence, that Nia Jax has the potential to improve outside of WWE, but I just don't think she has the passion in her. I think that the social media interactions and the fans' views on her work have probably beat the passion out of her, honestly.
I don't blame her, because a lot of people go hard on Nia Jax, some deservedly so, but like, if you criticize someone so many times, it may give them anxiety and cripple them and give them self-doubt, and which is not nice to do to a human being. People should try to be nicer to each other. Social media is easy to desensitize you and make you not think you're speaking to a human being, but you are speaking to a human being with feelings, so be nice and kind to each other. And I was going to add one more thing in terms of wrestler. Someone like Maryse, for example, she's got a black belt in martial arts. You wouldn't even know it because they didn't even allow her to showcase that in the ring. WWE did not teach women's wrestlers to be great. They had to push themselves through, and Triple H had the agenda for his kids.
the long-term agenda by Triple H. That's
speed.
That's the long-term conspiracy by Sad E. Are going to discuss AEW contracts very shortly, but we have a couple of Ultra Chats already in the chamber from our good friend, our favorite here, Sat Yoka Litna, who says, was discussing talent who happened to be under contract with other companies to be a part of the faction with Nikki A.S.H. Our head of legal affairs said it was frowned upon and said we shouldn't do that. So we fired him. This is too important.
You know what? Yeah, guys, watch Quizomania. Yoko Littner's super chat. He followed us all the way to Quizomania to give it ultra chat. Me and SP3 popped big time. We were laughing our heads off. You can see Adam. Adam's like, oh, guys, I need to understand this private joke you're having. And SP3 did a great joke of recapping of how hard Yoko Littner. You know what, Yoko Littner? If people put as much effort you have into Nikki A.S.H. in real life in WWE, she'd be a bigger star than she is right now.
If WWE Creative put as much of an effort as Yoko Littner and Nikki A.S.H., she would still be Raw Women's Champion. But speaking of Quizomania, Sat, we have another Ultra Chat here from Chuck Cassis, who's been an Elite Good Egg member for 4 months. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chuck. He says, love me some Mocha Mondays. Great job, Sat and SP3 last Wednesday night. Would love to see an hour or more of Mocha Mondays again. Love y'all. And I'm going to timestamp this 18 minutes, 28 seconds for our new head of creative on Wrestling Daily's hour of Mocha Mondays. The people have requested it. The people have said it. They have spoken.
They have speeched it, guys, because they always say they want feedback. You guys give them feedback. Flood the Wrestling Daily Twitter. We're at Rest Daily, WRES Daily. Follow us on Twitter. Message them so they can screenshot it and show it to the higher-ups. There is a demand for our shows. We want to go back to an hour show. We do, but there has to be a demand for it, and the viewing figures has to go up. So tell your mates to watch Wrestling Daily, up the numbers, and let your voice be known, and get to 15,000 subscribers for Quizmania War Games.
A simple case of supply and demand. You demand it, Wrestling Daily will deliver it. But
like Mocha Mondays.
Exactly. Let's hear some more Ultra Chats, WrestleTalk.com Facebook.com/WrestlingDaily. While you guys do that, we're going to talk about another news that we need to talk about, because Wade Keller of PW Torch says that several AEW stars' contracts are set to expire. Some talents are reportedly curious about the leverage they'll have with other companies, including WWE, New Japan, and GCW. Keller has also explained during this week's on his podcast that AEW is hopeful that Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega will re-sign ahead of their deals expiring, but noted that it is a possibility that these stars have already put pen to paper and are keeping quiet. Keller said, and I quote, "There are people I've talked to in AEW who are looking at their contracts and wondering what their deal is going to be next time when their deals come up and how much leverage they're going to have with WWE or New Japan or heck, GCW with their ticket sales these days or the indie scene as an option to book yourself. It's going to be interesting to watch." He also said, "I've heard the intent and the hope is that Cody and Kenny and Tony all come to deals. There's not signs that any of them want to leave or are disgruntled to this to the point that they shouldn't be able to come to an extension, but I don't know the situation." So, Seth, what are your thoughts on Kenny and Cody's deals coming up? And do you think that it's even a possibility that they will leave AEW?
Slow news, man. Like, I'm even gonna hypothesize, because this is BS. This is like someone's got an invested condo, house, garage, wrestling school, and are they gonna go to WWE and then get fired 2 months later? You know, because WWE nowadays is so unpredictable. You could see Cody just return to Stardust and just get fired as soon as he get eliminated. Kenny Omega comes in, he gets given a gamer character just to rib him, and then he goes to 205 Live or whatever, and then he gets released. Let's not even entertain this. I feel like this is, like, no offense, this is nothing, there's nothing worth entertaining for the simple reason that, number one, no offense to GCW, GCW shouldn't even be in a conversation. It's more of a super indie, if anything.
Yeah. It's more of what Ring of Honor was in their first couple of years, pretty much.
Bingo. It's a PWG for the East Coast audience.
Yeah.
So, oh, can I go to GCW? Everyone signed to AEW
has the option. Made it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. For me, I feel like they just picked up pieces and then they threw it together. No offense if you know some of these people, SP3, but I feel like this is hot garbage. So, if you did the whole meter thing, we're going to go on a red zone because that's full of crap. I don't even entertain it. Kenny Omega is healing his shoulder. He's got a great relationship with Tony Khan. New Japan, yes, the BS meter. That's BS. When Kenny comes back, he can get closer to being next to Ibushi, being next to Okada. He can't do that going to the WWE. WWE is a glorified entertainment company. You can tell that they're consolidating their everything, all the money, so they can sell it. So it looks nice and shiny and new and propping it up and so forth. Cody Rhodes got a talk show. He's got Go Big Show, that other show. And then, you know, Kenny Omega's got a relationship in Japan. He's a charge of talent relations or whatever it is for women's division and so forth. You think they give that up for the unstable WWE?
Yeah, I don't think I've said this now. This is the third time in the past 4 years I've had to say, Kenny Omega ain't thinking about going to no WWE. We had this conversation after the first Okada match at Wrestle Kingdom 11. We had this conversation in the beginning of 2019 when his contract was about to be up with New Japan and people thought, oh, he could go to WWE or he could go to AEW. I was like, it's pretty obvious he's going to AEW. But, you know, we're not going to talk. We're talking for the third time. But I do think this may be a hot take, may not. Cody is definitely the most likely out of the original members of the Elite to go to WWE sometime during his career.
You know what? You're true. If it benefits him, because I think Cody's in that phase where he's trying to build a Cody brand. Because we all make jokes on Twitter, he's trying to be a future senator or whatever it is. So maybe aligning himself with WWE down the line may help with his political ambitions or whatever he wants to do. But
make the Nightmare Factory developmental.
Yeah, then Triple H squashes it. But speaking of Triple H, if there's ever a chance of Kenny Omega and the Bucks and Cody to go to WWE, it was back during the initial formation of AEW, because Kenny Omega's got enough good things to say about Triple H. You're saying Triple H is like-minded in terms of his view and visions of wrestling. So at the moment, Triple H is not doing the talks anymore. It's now Nick Khan and possibly Johnny Ace or Bruce Pritchard, who knows? So and I don't see it happening.
That don't look too good. But speaking of the Elite and the original Elite members, an interesting conversation has been going on over the weekend on social media set. And apparently there's a section of fans who are saying that Adam Cole has been downgraded in AEW from where he was in WWE. They believe that he was treated as a god in NXT, and he has been treated as less than in AEW in the tag match with Bobby Fish this past week on AEW Rampage, interacting with Orange Cassidy. What do you say to that fan base that believes that Adam Cole is less than in AEW than he was in WWE?
If there's a fart emoji, put a fart emoji right here. This is stupid.
This is another instance of
BS. Is the biggest BS ever. They're comparing it to Bret Hart going to WCW. Let's talk about Bret Hart for a second. He was the flagship bearer of the World Wrestling Federation, five-time WWF champion. Then he goes to WCW and he's a mid-card to fight the United States title. Fair enough. That's nothing the same. Adam Cole came from a WWE developmental that couldn't even be up to snuff with AEW, despite years of brand recognition, despite the head start. Adam Cole, in terms of the pyramid scheme, he was in the middle. He was nowhere near the tippy top. Yeah, he beat Daniel Bryan, but who didn't? Let's be honest.
If you were getting a push, you beat Daniel Bryan.
Exactly. Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, despite them doing well, they're the guys you beat. The Sami Zayn, they're the guys you beat. No offense. If you beat Roman Reigns, then we start talking. Adam Cole, they'd beat Daniel Bryan, true. But he's fighting a developmental company. Triple H's ego is boosted because they lied to him. Yeah, yeah, you guys are the third brand. Everyone behind his back were like, this is a developmental company, sucker. Look at his arms. Look at this guy. He will never make it in the main roster. So him going from a developmental brand to the number two promotion, that is what they call an upgrade. SP3 is not an upgrade. He's on national TV. Probably seen more than NXT because they did trump NXT. So that is a fact.
I think people are forgetting that he went to AEW and immediately joined with the top heel faction. He's been in main events. He's been getting the loudest reaction. I think it's no secret that when Punk, Brian, and Cole come into the company at one time, Cole is kind of viewed as the third guy. He's not the number one guy. That's Punk. He's not the number two guy. That's former WrestleMania main eventer Brian Danielson. He's the third guy because he was a top guy on the third brand. It's the equivalent of if this was 2007, he'd be an ECW world champion, and he's coming over, and you expect him to be treated like he's better than Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, John Moxley, Hangman Page. No, that's not going to happen. It's all about the buildup. No one comes into AEW and immediately is thrusted to the top unless they are going to be an all-time worker like Bryan Danielson has shown. But I believe that in a year from now, Adam Cole is going to be firmly in the main event scene, and the building is all being done right now. We're doing the building blocks. He's creating relationships, whether it be with Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Bobby Fish, and he's starting feuds with Jungle Boy, Orange Cassidy. So the stuff is there. I think people just want to criticize WWE because, and I think Phil Lindsay of Grapsody on Fightful said it best. These are the same WWE fans that if he was doing worse on the main roster, they'd be telling us the catchphrase of the main roster. Let it play out. Let it play out. Let it play out. But that, you have something to say, Seth?
SB, that's like saying when Kyle O'Reilly goes to AEW, or AEW burying him because he's not hanging out with Von Wagner on NXT.
Exactly. Shrug emoji. One thing we do have to touch on very, very shortly, besides the Adam Cole thing, social media wrestling Twitter was going ablaze with Taya Valkyrie because she answered a tweet about where would WWE be in 5 years, and she said sold. So a fan replied to her and said, says the one who dreamed of getting signed by them. And Taya Valkyrie responded to that fan by saying, you're like super funny, dude. I worked my ass off for 12 years to work for my heroes, and it was absolutely disappointing. If you also have dreams, you would understand. Clearly, you don't have dreams or goals. Oof. A couple of her other responses included, and I quote, if you only knew how many negative comments I get, I love you too, but you need to realize that at some point I am going to stand up for myself. I'm done letting people act like we don't have a voice. LOL, I would love for you or anyone to deal with the negativity that we as women pro wrestlers deal with. I will always have a voice, and I'm not going to be silenced by dumbass trolls.
Amen.
So, yes, Taya Valkyrie has been very vocal, more specifically, not even since her release, but more specifically since John Morrison's release. What have you been thinking about her social media discourse since her release?
Guys, it's funny how you get wrestling fans. They think they're entitled to have hot takes, whether it's good or bad. But a moment a person has worked in that company, she's worked in that company, guys. Let's remember this. We've never worked for WWE. She worked for WWE. She's entitled to opinion, first and foremost. And she's entitled to express it. That guy tried to mansplain to her about things. Get the F out of here. And she's right. Oh, because you don't have goals, dreams, and ambition. Don't crap on someone else. And listen, someone asked her a question. No, someone put it up on social media. Everybody else did do their little jokes. But Taya Valkyrie can't do it. What kind of BS is that? You go with this. She's not a performing monkey. She's a human being. She's entitled to her thoughts and feelings. So she can say whatever she wants to say. So all those people that's been a bit butthurt. I'm sorry you never had a job that you really wanted and turned out to be crap. I'm sorry you had like ambition. You're not the same. You're not on the same level. You're a make-believe world. She's a real life human being. She can express how she feels. SB, what's her?
Let it be known. You said it best, Sat. Nothing more for me to add to that. We got one final Ultra Chat. Thank you, everyone, for your Ultra Chats today. Chuck passes with another Ultra Chat. He says, 60-minute Mocha Monday Marathon, man. That's a great team name. Let's give these men the time they need, just like AEW. Mocha Mondays are a highlight of the week. Sat P3 has such great chemistry on the mic together. Do you think Cody would join back with the Bucks and Kenny? Would join back with the Bucks with Kenny gone? What do you think, Sat? Do you think if Kenny Omega somehow, some way leaves, maybe goes back to New Japan, would Cody reunite with the Young Bucks?
I don't want him to. He showed his true colors. He rode the coattails of the Elite. Let it be known, Kevin Steen introduced Stardust to the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks took young old Stardust, Cody, with no surname. Yeah, hang out with us. Come ROH. Come to a tour in New Japan. They made him the man he is. Let's not even BS. They made him the man he is. Then when he got to AEW, I'm gonna do my little Nightmare Factory family. I'm gonna do my own universe. He's so big-headed. He had to have his own entrance. He had to say sayonara on my team. The only time it was acknowledged that he's part of the Elite was during that brief time before the pandemic. It was gonna be the Elite versus the Inner Circle, which never happened. That's the last time you ever saw him even acknowledge that they're from the same island. They're from the same universe. Cody exists in his own land where I'm a big star. But the positive thing about Cody, he represents tradition. He's like the tie, because he's the baby of WCW. He's that vestige, that ties WCW and AEW together, because he's Dusty's kid, the Bunkhouse Stampede and so forth, the Bash at the Beach, all that whole trademarking thing is Cody's deal. Tony Schiavone is Cody's deal. Jim Ross, whether you like him or not, that's Cody's deal. So there is some positive, which he brings tradition, but let's be honest. He used them, and he's like, yeah, I got my own team. QT Marshall's my friend. You know, Ricky Starks
for the camera. I got my brother. I got a black guy. I got Lee Johnson.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I'm like Ricky Starks for camera. I need more black friends. Can you pretend we know each other and you laugh at my jokes?
Absolutely. But yes, I don't think Cody and the Young Bucks should reunite, but I would love to see Hangman reunite with the Young Bucks eventually, for sure. But that is all. That is our final Ultra Chat. We talked about all the news from the weekend that was. I want to thank Sat, as per usual. A great Mocha Mondays. Sat will be back with you tomorrow with the Irish Chief. Alex McCarthy back in the saddle again on a Tuesday. I will be back on Wednesday with Alex, or I may be back tomorrow. Who knows? You never know what you're going to get on Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily. We are signing off until tomorrow.